Good morning and Happy New Year to all of you and welcome to our meeting. It is now 10 o'clock on January 10th, 2023, and time to convene a regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Rebecca Wolf, President of the Commission. With us today, I have Commissioner Sid Logan, Vice President to my right, Commissioner Tony Olson, Secretary to my left, John Harlow, CEO, General Manager, just right there. Sean, is it Arono or Arono? Arono.
Sean Arono. You're coming up, aren't you?
Sean Arono, Interim General Counsel. Melissa Collins, Commission and Executive Services Director. Allison Morrison, Clerk of the Board, to my left. Jenny Rich, straight ahead. Deputy Clerk of the Board, and Morgan Stolzner, Deputy Clerk of the Board. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please mute or turn off your cell phones or other electronic devices. This session is for Board and CEO General Manager to study and discuss issues among ourselves and with PUD staff. So now I'd like to introduce CEO General Manager John Harlow, who will facilitate the discussion this morning. Welcome, John, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Commissioners. Got some good stuff this morning, so we're going to start with Julie Cunningham and our media update. Happy New Year, Julie.
Thank you. 2023. Woohoo! Here we go. See how it goes. I'm short today. Well, I'm short every day, but I'm short on my report. I'm short on my report, and it can be summed up in one word: storm. Just storms. It's so much media on storms. There actually, when I was looking at this list, there's 23 different stories over the last, several weeks, since Christmas anyway. And it's all storm related. We haven't really had much else going on, but I do bring you great news on the winter edition of the WE magazine is coming out. It hasn't arrived, or I would have brought it with me. And we received third place for the photo contest, which is awesome, from Krista Rasmussen. They misspelled her name. Bad WEI. But more than that, she also got three honorable mentions, and there's only 20 photos that were recognized. So we got four out of the 20 that were. And when it comes, be sure and take a look at it, because I think our third blows the first place, especially, out of the water. I can't even, I don't know what they were thinking. It's just it's a picture of a nice dam picture. It's nice.
Politics, too.
Then you got this great, it must be that, because you got this great picture of our apprentices all lined up on the pulls out at
hours. Oh, I know. Yeah.
It's so much better. It's so much better. Anyway.
You wouldn't be biased, would you?
No, yeah,
I'm
no
really
bias,
not. It really. You look and you let me know what you think that first was better than even, because I didn't say second whip and didn't necessarily beat out second. Second's a cool shot, although we get honorable mention for a similar shot, but I just feel like, okay. So awesome for Krista. She came through, made us look great again at the district. The other thing I wanted to share with you, you'll be seeing, we have our jumbo buses that say thank you for being a customer. We're changing that out this year, and we got this great new thing that you will like, powered by green energy.
Wonderful.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
I thought they were really awesome looking, and I think their attention getting, oops, I should share back here too, so that everybody can appreciate the new awesome, and that's those big buses where we have the big wraps. And the other buses, Pam will be happy to hear, they stay promoting our conservation programs, but this one we try to sneak in a little bit different, so thank you.
Thank you, Julie. And WEI is a big organization that represents all the both investor-owned and public utilities across the West. So, to get those kind of recognitions is an outstanding feat by Krista. All right, next up is our Washington State 2023 Legislative Review and Ryan Collins. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning. Happy New Year's.
Welcome.
Good morning, Commission. My name is Ryan Collins, and I am the new Government Relations and External Affairs Manager for the district. Happy New Year. It's a pleasure to be here this morning, and very nice to formally meet you all, as this is my first commission hearing with you. Also on the phone, I know, is Marian Daka, our contract lobbyist, in case we do have other questions that I might not be able to respond to. She's got a wealth of knowledge and is one of the prime operators down there in Olympia. I know I have big shoes to fill, but I'm excited to be working on behalf of the district and our employees as well as our customers. With session just having started yesterday, I'm here to present the preview of the 2023 legislative session. Oh, there we go. Perfect. To begin, this presentation is to provide context of what has happened organizationally in the legislature since the end of the past session, as well as preview some of the themes and actions that may occur during this session. This presentation is for informational purposes only and does not include any action items or requests of the commission. Our agenda today is thankfully short. We'll do a quick overview of the previous session, look to what might be happening this session, and then respond to any questions the commission may have. So, to quickly recap the past couple of years, there's been some significant legislative movement within the energy space as lawmakers have focused on decarbonizing sectors of the Washington state economy. First was the Clean Energy Transformation Act, also known as CETA, which passed in 2019 and created a comprehensive decarbonization policy for the electric sector. Then in 2021 came the Climate Commitment Act, also known as the CCA, which created a cap and invest program for other sectors of the Washington economy. Also in 2021, the legislature passed the Clean Fuel Standard, also known as the CFS, which, similar to the Climate Commitment Act, creates an allowance market which covers entities where covered entities can go purchase and sell credits to cover emission liabilities. As you know, both the Climate Commitment Act and the Clean Fuel Standard just recently went into effect on January 1st of this year. So a couple of notes from last session. It was the end of the biennial legislative process, which means that it was a short session consisting of 60 days. That doesn't mean that there was a lot to do. From managing the COVID-19 pandemic, which resulted in $100 million in customer arrearages for utility customers, of which the district received $11.2 million, as well as further efforts to decarbonize, including new building code requirements and $100 million for low-income solar, community solar. There was also the passage of a large transportation package, a $17 billion investment over 16 years, as well as other efforts to tackle chronic issues from affordable housing and homelessness, which again, you'll probably see a big chunk of time this year dedicated to. Now looking to this year, we're at the start of the biennium, which means we're on a long session, so it's gonna be 105 days starting from yesterday. Key dates to watch, again, were yesterday, which was the start of session, as well as April 23rd, which is when the session comes to a close, or steamy die. Key cutoff dates, which are dates after which we don't have to anticipate any new legislation being introduced, is February 15th at the policy committee level, and then March 8th, which at least a bill has to have passed at least one chamber. Also of note, this is the first year within the last 3 years that the legislature is back in person, which means operations and logistics may be a little bit interesting to watch, as some may be in person, such as floor procedures and committee operations, while others will continue to be hybrid and remote, such as some committee testimony, as well as if there's a COVID outbreak, that everything will transition back to being remote. And each member offices, so member meetings will be dictated depending upon how comfortable the members are. As to looking at the legislature, this year it looks mostly the same with some slight differences. In November's elections, Democrats increased their majority in both chambers by one seat each. There's also been some changes to the body itself, with 22 new members elected, with 7 new chairs in the House and 2 new chairs in the Senate. Of importance to the district are the new chairs of the Senate Environment, Energy, and Technology Committee, formerly led by Senator Reuben Carlisle, which is now headed by Senator Joe Wynn from West Seattle, as well as Beth Dolio, who's making her return to the state legislature and will be chairing the House Energy and Environment and Energy Committee this year. Thankfully, I've had a chance to meet with both members and look forward to working with them further. As for SNOPUD, moreover, the decentennial redistricting process has wrapped up this last year, modifying legislative districts and brought the 12th legislative district further west into our service area. The 12th now includes Chelan, Douglas counties, as well as small parts of eastern Snohomish and King counties. The communities of Index, Monroe, Salton, and Gold Bar are now represented by Senator Brad Hawkins, Representative Keith Gaynor, and Representative Mike Siegel. We were very pleased to both host Representative Steele as well as Representative Gaynor at the microgrid opening on October 25th. We've already conducted several informal sit-down sessions with all these members to kind of introduce ourselves.
That's wonderful because they were very eager for information, but they're also well versed in what Chelan Beauty needs.
They are.
Yeah, it would be really important to help educate them the differences.
Absolutely, and we're very excited to have them as part of our delegation.
Thank you.
Also new to the district are four new first-time members who won election this past November. Representative Clive Shavers, who represents the 10th Legislative District, which includes North Snohomish County, Arlington, Camino Island, as well as Whidbey Island. Representatives Julio Cortez and Mary Fossey of the 38th Legislative District, which includes Everett, the Tulalip Reservation, as well as Marysville. And lastly, Representative Sam Lowe of the 39th District, which incorporates eastern Snohomish County, Darrington, as well as eastern Skagit County. As for my work in Olympia, I will continue to follow and practice our government relations guiding principles when reacting and engaging with the legislature. Just to read those off really quickly, reliability of service. We value our public power heritage and protect the PUD's ability to provide safe and reliable power and water. Affordability, we will similarly protect the PUD's ability to provide power and water at the lowest reasonable cost. Community safety, we will prioritize the safety of our employees and communities above all else. Local control, we will protect this governing body's local control. And lastly, environmental stewardship, we value our natural environment and will take our stewardship responsibilities seriously. So, now to the fun part. What's going to be happening this year? The starting gun was the governor's budget, which was released back on December 15th of this last year. And as you can see, the majority of his budget focuses on housing and homelessness, which is likely, as I said earlier, to take up a considerable amount of time in session. Also of note was his commitment to the implementation of his climate change agenda, including the Clean Energy Transformation Act, the Clean Fuel Standard, as well as the Climate Commitment Act, as well as new commercial and residential building codes. That also includes the HEAL Act, which focuses on state climate spending on communities most disadvantaged by climate change, as well as how to spend an estimated $1.7 billion in proceeds from the CCA auctions. Lastly is education, which saw the largest portion of funding in its operational budget and appears to be a focus where the minority wants to weigh in as well. While the legislative landscape is still taking shape in the coming weeks, the district continues to engage on the implementation process of the Climate Commitment Act, the Clean Energy Transformation Act, and the Clean Fuel Standards. That's probably the major thing we're going to be looking at for this year. The work will also include various subject matter experts from across the district. We also anticipate legislation to further decarbonize our economy, disconnect moratoriums related to heat, as well as conversations around net meter and solar. We expect to see legislation to speed up the expansion and development of the state's transmission network, as well as streamline transmission siting. And we are also seeing discussions related to wildfire mitigation and salmon recovery legislation, which we also saw last year and will again pick up this year. While we don't have many specifics right now, these are the areas that we're most closely watching and monitoring for action in the coming days and weeks. Just want to pause in case I know there's a lot of information I've just been throwing at you, if there's any questions.
No questions, but it'll be interesting to see what they come up on for any infrastructure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think local and state government work is going to be really critical this year and next year. So thank you in advance for all your hard work.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to being down there and running around. All right. Well, finally, I want to wrap up by revisiting reporting for this session. We will continue with the same reporting structure we provided to the commission in the past. I will provide key legislation reports to the commission each, for each meeting during the legislative session with a presentation every other setting. In off meetings, I will be, in off meetings, I will always be available for questions. With that, any questions?
We've been through this many times, but this was very succinct and great. Thank you.
Happy to brief and fast.
Nice presentation, you're welcome.
Thank you, looking forward to working.
Excellent, thank you, Ryan. Next up is Kelsey Lewis to present our commercial strategic energy management agreement. Good morning, Kelsey.
Good morning. Good morning, commissioners. Happy New Year. I am Kelsey. I'm a program manager in customer and energy services, and I have my manager, Jeff Feinberg, with me to back up for any questions as well. And I'm here to talk to you about a commercial strategic energy management, or CSEM, agreement. Is that up, down?
The side.
Okay. So today is just for information. You'll see it back again on the consent agenda in a couple weeks. But no action is required today, so just sit back, relax, enjoy the show, and feel free to interrupt me with any questions you may have.
Hey, this is tough stuff. I have to go through it three times.
So I'll start with an overview of strategic energy management, which is really all about creating a culture of continuous energy improvement and empowering your employees to persistently achieve energy savings through operational processes. So the key here is that we focus on low to no cost projects that usually involve some kind of behavioral change. So it's really about engaging people at every level of the organization. And you can think about it kind of like our safety program, where we try to have people always thinking about safety. It's the same, we're just encouraging people to develop their energy eyes. And I wanted to include a concrete project that we've done in another SEM program at Crane Aerospace. You can see here on the left, they have these soldering stations where they're working on electronics. And in the second right arrow, you can see a little exhaust pipe that those were on 24/7. And after an energy scan, they had an idea to just take a Costco soup cup, cover it, and then that energy champion had these competitions to try to engage that behavioral change and shift to start covering what them when they weren't in use. So this is a great example of a low to no cost project that impacted their energy savings. And I'll note that this is on the industrial side. We're talking about a commercial agreement. So these low to no cost projects might look a little bit different, more focused on HVAC, set points and stuff like that. But just to bring you this idea that it's not expensive capital upgrades and efficiency equipment. So we started SEM at the district back in 2016 with several industrial cohorts. We've had a total of 19 participants from key industries like wastewater, manufacturing, and most recently we launched a clean water cohort. We've saved 45 million kilowatt hours to date through O&M activities, and this is a key program in our energy services portfolio. It's consistently in the top three in terms of savings. Is the most cost effective, and it often creates a pipeline of projects for our other programs. In addition to that, we run these cohorts in two-year periods. Some have gone on to years 4, 5, 6, even 7 and 8. And so we're developing those customer relationships where we know from a system planning perspective if they have a large project or long-term how we can support them. And there are several benefits to customers who join SEM. They get an incentive of 2.5 cents per kilowatt hour saved for their O&M projects. They get up to $25,000 every 2 years for to purchase energy measurement equipment. They get coaching, workshops, an energy scan, and an energy model where they can monitor their performance. And the cost is free to them. Financially, we do ask for an investment of their time, focus, and creativity, which we recognize as an investment. And then again, with so many eyes looking at an organization, a lot more ideas of capital projects come up as well. And then I'll also mention that they join a network of their peers in these two-year cohorts. So they get to brainstorm and sometimes commiserate with folks who are often in similar industries. And then this program is implemented by BPA through their Energy Smart Industrial program. So ESI, or Energy Smart Industrial, they actually provide the coaching, the MNV, the model development, and then the PUD acts as the program administrator. So historically, the commercial market has been challenging, but there's recently been a shift for looking at SEM with the commercial side, because as you heard from me back in October, the Clean Buildings Law is shifting that dynamic and forcing commercial entities to look at energy efficiency. And then BPA launched a CSEM measure last year, so now we'd be able to get refunded for those savings. And the IRP indicates that we need more savings starting in 2024. And this graph is from the most recent IRP. So we're focused on this light blue section showing energy efficiency or conservation needs. And you can see in 2024, it starts to increase up to 27, 28, and then it kind of just exponentially increases. So CSEM, because it's a long-term program, we get to engage customers for several years at a time, we feel is going to be important to achieving our goals.
So Kelsey, on this on this diagram, it looks as if demand and response is not very much until like 2026-7, and that's in line with our IRP.
My understanding is that this is the IRP plan, but I'm going to have Jeff support me in that one if you have future questions about that.
It just seems, I mean, I wish it could be more.
Yeah, this graph actually comes directly from the IRP. And so in our most recent IRP, this is the base case amount of when we believe demand response will come online and the amount that we need to meet the needs of our load.
And also keep in mind that that's in time with the Connect Up program. Our quickest path and easiest, most efficient path to enabling demand response is through the Connect Up program.
Thank you.
Welcome. And then if we take a look at the commercial market, this is a table of our largest customers. So they have more than 1 million annual kilowatt hours usage. If we were able to engage all of these sites and estimate 2 to 6% SCM savings, we're looking at between 6 to 20 million kilowatt hours saved. So there's a lot of potential in this market, and we're already engaged with several of these sites through our Clean Buildings Accelerator. So we're viewing that program as kind of a great on ramp to see them.
I have a question about in which categories will Lake Stevens, Costco, and the Arlington, Amazon, those big businesses, in which category would they
go? Costco would likely be in supermarket categories.
Oh, okay.
And then the Amazon site, I'm not sure if that would be categorized as industrial or commercial based on their usage. But my understanding is that they're involved in our energy design assistance program. Mm-hmm. So they're getting that help upfront in the development.
Okay, good.
And it may be worthwhile, Kelsey or Jeff, to talk a little bit about the program that we had with Amazon, or half of Amazon. That's fairly significant. And maybe we presented that to the board in the past.
I know we talked about it during the tour.
Yes.
It was like over $1 million of assistance, if I remember. And we saw some of that on the tour, some of the lighting devices, some lights off.
Yeah, so that program that we're talking about is our Energy Design Assistance Program, and that is for commercial and multifamily new construction. And so the way we think about it is, so that program is for when new buildings are being built, right? Warehouses, grocery stores, things of a certain size, multifamily complexes. And what we do is we incentivize them for energy efficiency above building code. And we've got some other additional incentives in there for electric vehicle supply equipment, if it's serving income qualified customers, if it's electric only, and some of those types of things. If there's grid harmonization opportunities for demand response as we get those programs online. So that's for the new construction piece. CSIM, a lot of times we're dealing with buildings that currently exist, right, where there's already consumption happening, sometimes even very old. And we're talking to them about low cost and no cost behavioral changes that they can make. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times, like Kelsey referenced, these lead to some of the larger capital projects, whether it's a commercial lighting retrofit or an HVAC retrofit. So we've got the new construction to catch the buildings and customers as they're coming on and they're developing the new businesses. And then CSIM would be one of those where we work with the existing businesses that are already doing things to talk to them about energy efficiency and how we might kind of incentivize and help them get a little further down the path.
So a little bit of a follow-up. We're not quite there yet, but the initial two-year cohort is going to be 10 participants, and then the second one is 10 more. How many do we have already besides those 20? Is that your question?
Yeah. So we don't currently have anyone enrolled in CSIM because we don't have a program set up. We are thinking about our Clean Buildings Accelerator program as a precursor, and we have two cohorts. The first one has 8 and the second one has 8. But, you know, we're just getting this started. If we look at industrial SCM as a precursor, we've had several cohorts go on in 4, 5, 6 years. So we see this as something we ultimately want to continue, but we just want to get it started for now.
That's great. Thank you.
Okay, so there's a lot of opportunity in the commercial market. However, BPA's new CSIM measure does not provide implementation like it does on the industrial side. So we decided to go out for an RFP to find an implementer. And in September of last year, we submitted an RFP that was evaluating qualifications and experience in implementing CSIM, a strategy to implement the program, cost. And then we were also interested in working with a vendor that could support incorporating diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so we included that as well in the RFP. So we solicited 8 bids and received 3 proposals, and ultimately decided to interview 2 finalists, both of whom we work with in other programs. We ultimately selected Stillwater Energy, which may be familiar because they're our Clean Buildings Accelerator implementer. But we chose them because of their experience in CSIM. They were the only one implementing CSIM in the region from our finalists. They have really active engagement strategies. So, you know, from the workshops that we've had or even one-on-one, they're very good, especially in a virtual environment, of getting people to pay attention and not just check out. And then they are focused on continuous improvement. And I've experienced this as the program manager for Clean Buildings, where they're constantly asking for feedback. They send me the presentations beforehand. I get to give my input. And then after workshops, they also ask for feedback from participants. So I'm looking forward to building with them as we learn. They are the experts on clean buildings, and they were the only one that really provided some support around designing our program with DEI in mind. And ultimately, they were the most cost effective. So we felt like this is going to be bring the most value to our customer owners.
Yeah, I did a little research on them, and they look like a really great choice. I was wondering what those colors represent on the pictures of different areas of expertise.
So they have some subcontractors in their proposal. The blue is Stillwater, and then the yellow and orange were their subcontractors.
Okay, thanks. Well, for the utility too, staying with someone who knows us is a great little value.
Yeah, I think our customers are going to have a seamless experience from one program to the next. So this agreement includes 2 cohorts over the next 4 years. The initial cohort would launch this year. We're targeting 10 participants. And then we would launch a second cohort right after that, again, targeting 10 participants. The contract budget ranges from $263,000 to $348,000. And I recognize that that's a wide range, and that's because we're building flexibility into the total number of participants that we could have. So that lower range of 263,000 is if we, you know, have 10 participants in the first group and only 10 in the second group. That could either be 10 new participants in the first 2 years and 10 new in the second 2 years, or it could be 10 in the first and 5 of them continue, and then we get 5 new ones. So a total of 20 program deliveries. But the 348,000 number speaks to the case where maybe all 10 from the first cohort continue, and then we get another new 10. And so then we would have a total of 30 program deliveries. With our clean buildings cohorts, we've been able to get about 8. So I think 10 is probably going to be reasonable. But yeah, we just want to make room for, you know, if it gets really popular.
So these figures are for the whole cohort group?
Yeah, that's
not individual participants.
Yeah, that's for the entire 4-year agreement, delivering 2 cohorts of up to 20 participants. And so this agreement really allows us to enhance our portfolio in energy services, and it really is going to be a key to allowing us to give more support to our clean buildings participants. You know, particularly we've heard from several school districts that they're worried about funding and can we help them out anymore. And if they join CSUN, they'll get that additional incentive money for energy measurement equipment, and then just more support overall.
What about federal money that's designed in the Inflation Reduction Act or the infrastructure bill? Isn't there supposed to be quite a bit of money available for things like this?
I'm not as familiar with that.
Jeff shaking his head.
There is, and those are conversations that we're also having with the state energy office as they implement some of those things. And so a lot of that, and not to speak too much in Kim's world, but so the IRA, there's a lot of that that's tax credits, and then there's a lot of that that's program dollars that can be funneled. It goes first to the state, and the state energy office works with local utilities, municipalities, and community action agencies to turn those into programs. And so we're involved in that process as well. Essentially, with things like CSUN, we're just trying to add as many tools to our toolbox to help those customers as we can. And then as these other federal options come online, we're definitely going to stay really engaged and make sure that we can kind of help influence the way those programs get designed so that we can, you know, braid these funds together, right, to have the most impact for the customer.
So the school districts might be eligible for some of that themselves.
Exactly.
If they have the staff to pursue them. I think that's staffing is a problem on some of that.
And that's why we're staying really involved with some of those IRA conversations, to see where we as the utility can kind of be partner, right, to make sure that those funds can get to our customers and they can be implemented in programs that work really well with what we've already got in our portfolio.
Great.
Thank you. Well, and that's why programs like these are so powerful, because
yes,
school district has very little resources along this line. And for someone, an organization to come in and, you know, to help them and make it more turnkey, makes it much more likely that it'll happen. So.
An organization like the PV?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's vital.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they don't have the resources, they're not going to get anything unless they do it.
I mean, just getting people to turn the lights off when no one's in the room sounds simple, but it's enormous when you have multiple campuses.
This was one of the topics that was presented at PNUC on Friday.
Yeah.
Actually, I had a follow-up conversation with Jeff, and we are engaged in that space. If you recall, we all said you're encouraging utilities to become involved and engaged and be able to put their fingerprints on how that program can work and how to best use that those federal legislative dollars in this space, and the team is actively engaged in that process.
Yeah, that was a really good presentation about that. Okay.
Sorry, Chelsea.
Oh, you're good. I'm going to wrap it up here. So this contract will be on the consent agenda on January 24th in a couple of weeks, and we expect it to go into effect immediately because we want to start program planning and then recruiting, probably for a Q2 or Q3 launch. Are there any questions?
Great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, just a comment. I'm so glad we're doing this. I think this is a really rich treasure trove things. And I think, you know, if we get these big customers to do these first easy steps, then we've made that connection. So when, you know, we want to encourage them to do, you know, upgrades to HVAC systems that are more expensive things, so they have some. So it's very cool.
Absolutely. We're excited to add it to our toolbox.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. All right.
Cool.
Excellent job, Kelsey and Jeff. So that is it for our presentations this morning.
All right, we're going to recess now into an executive session to discuss qualifications of an applicant for public employment. And we will return, we will reconvene.
Mr. Walsh, can you just say what time we're recessing?
Right now? Oh, thank you. Thank you for that reminder. We are recessing at 10:34 a.m. And we will reconvene in about half an hour, which would be maybe about 10 after 11 or so. Pardon?
Read the script. Can you read the script?
Oh, can you read the script?
I beg your pardon. We do have a script. All right, hold on just a second. Oh, yeah. So it is now 10:34 a.m. and the board will recess into executive session to discuss qualifications of an applicant for public employment under the terms set forth in the Open Public Meetings Act. It is anticipated that the executive session will last approximately 30 minutes with no public announcements. The executive session will conclude at about 30 minutes, probably about 10 after 11. The regular meeting will reconvene here. The commission meeting room at 1:30.
I apologize, Commissioner Wolf. Can you just confirm that it would be 30 minutes after 10:34?
Not say about.
It has to be exactly, so 11.
Well, we anticipate that we will resume our regular meeting, that the executive session will last, says approximately, but I'll say precisely 30 minutes with no public announcements. The executive session will conclude at 10 after 11.
I actually have to say 11:04.
11:04. Oh, gosh, I'm glad you're here. It will conclude at 11:04. And the regular meeting will reconvene here in the commission meeting room at 1:30 p.m. Thank you very much.